about the redemptive names of God. And those are the names that are the compound names that go with Jehovah or Yahweh. And first I want you to open up and look at Malachi chapter 3. We get the name, people pronounce the name Jehovah in lots of different ways. I'll kind of tell you the way it ended up being Jehovah, first of all. It comes from a Hebrew word that means to be or to exist. So Yahweh actually means the one or the eternal one. And he first revealed his name to God a little bit before. So anyway, but in Hebrew it should be something like Yahweh. And what happened was that the people starting around 3 BC, the Judeans decided that they honored God's name as so sacred that they did not want to pronounce it anymore. And so they changed it to Adonai, which means Lord. So instead of saying Yahweh at all, they would replace it with Adonai, meaning Lord. And then later, they took the vowels that go with Adonai and they put them on Yahweh, and that's how you get Yehovah. There is no J sound in Hebrew, Y sound. They took the vowels from Adonai and they put it on the name for Yahweh. So that's how you get Jehovah. And we still say Jehovah just because we want to Yahweh. So, but these names that we're going to talk about are compound names with the word Yahweh or Jehovah. So the verse I want to read to start with is Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. No, sorry, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. I am the what?
The Lord.
I am Yahweh. I am the Lord. I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. So what the Lord Jehovah God is saying here is that from the very beginning, when he first started revealing himself as Yahweh, all the way through the entire Bible, it always stayed the same. And so when we heard about these names and we the fulfillment of them in our Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, then it doesn't change. So once you know what the name means, it's the same all the way through. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, we can rely upon it then. So we're going to look at them one by one. And I have just picked an order that I wanted to share them with. It's not either the way it's revealed in the Word in exact order, nor is it for any particular reason other than I'm going to split them up into four and four. On your paper, you actually only have seven, adding additional two. But there are some that are not as famous or not as... tell you tonight about Jehovah Jireh or Yahweh Yireh, or and that first one. And the second one is Jehovah Rapha. And the third one is Jehovah Kadesh. And the fourth one is Jehovah Shammah. Those are the four I'm going to cover tonight. And so we begin with the first one is Jehovah Jireh. I say it with the J just because I think it came from a song that's a popular song. And so anyway, Genesis chapter 22. This actually is the first name of the compound name that is revealed in the book of Genesis. And it's the record about Abraham taking Isaac up to Mount Moriah. Now, we also did talk about this already a little bit, this record, but I'm going to just read it, or we'll read it together, and that way we can refresh our minds with the record, okay, before you get to where he reveals his name. So, verse 1 of chapter 22.
Mm-hmm. Pass after these things, I did tempt Abraham. He said unto him, Abraham, behold, here I am. If he say, now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, thou lovest, and get thee offering there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains. Up early in the morning, young men with him, son, clave up and went unto the place. Up his eyes, and saw the place far off.
Okay, there's a couple things we need to look here. In verse 2, God told Abraham to take thine only son Isaac. Does it, or what we had talked about, what does only begotten? Right. Yeah. So remember, he's only begotten. He's a unique one because he miraculous birth, similar to Jesus Christ's birth, wasn't seed from God, the same exactly, but he was begotten in a very unique fashion. That's what. Only. And you notice, get thee into the land of Moriah. Moriah is actually a group of mountains, and there was a particular mountain which became Moriah. That is also the mountain right outside Jerusalem. There is a special significance fact that this is Mount Moriah that Abraham... No. Okay, let's see. And then, verse 4, on what day was it that Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off?
Third day.
Okay. All right. Mike, you want to keep reading?
You know, I could, but I'm reading...
Oh, go ahead and read it. Okay, good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Verse 5 through...
Yeah, go ahead and...
Then Abraham said to his young men, Anki, I and the boy will go over there, took the wood of the burnt iron and the knife, both of them together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father, where am I, my son? Hold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? For Abraham said, God will provide for himself.
So Isaac already has noticed here that, and verse 8 is the key verse. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. Abide there, we'll see, or do it. And this this is the verb here of actual name.
God had told him, Isaac his son, not thine hand on either do thou. And now I know that thou fearest not withheld.
There you have thine only son again, the only son. Abraham built an altar, he laid the wood, and he bound Isaac his son. Now, how old do you think Isaac is? Early teens? Okay, we don't know for certain, but he was actually probably closer
to
30. He was very likely at least 30, because at 30, he was and responsible. So, this is not a young boy, in other words, or even a teenager. And so he had to agree on the altar and to be very, he probably strong enough to have faith. Mm-hmm. So you see the two things, really, that Abraham is willing to sacrifice his son, but Isaac is also laying down his life. God the Father and God had to allow his son to be slain, had to lay his life down. So they both are being willing to follow what God said. And then, of course, the angel stops Abraham's, hey, stop, no, don't do it. And angel says, lay not thy hand upon the lad. And he's, okay, that's where we get lad, right? Then it's not a good translation. Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and had to look away from what was happening on offering an altar. And he looked up. As he looked up, behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and offered him up for a burnt offering. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, Mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So, back in verse 8, where it said God will provide himself, I told you it means God will see. That's why this place is called in the Mount of the Lord, it will be seen. It also could be translated, Lord will see, Lord will provide. Now, how you get from see, very common word, to provide, it actually is the same in English. Pro and provide, V-I-D-E, Latin word that means pro, it's just added in front of it. So, in order to provide, you have to see, have to be aware of the need. That's what it's saying God does, is he always, ahead of time, vision, so that he can provision, he can have provision. God knows ahead of time that the ram was there to be a substitute, right? And that's why he called that bird will provide. And that happened to be the exact place. So it was not only a provision at that time for Abraham, but it was also going to be for us later on. So look over in Hebrews, because it explains what happened in chapter 11, which is the chapter on faith. It means how Abraham had such great faith at this point. In verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, his only son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. The promise God had given him was that Isaac was going to be the one that would carry, the promised Messiah would come from him. So to offer his only son, who was a miracle baby, you know, so to speak, called, well, this is what was in his mind. 19, it says, he was accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from whence also he received. So what that whole incident with Isaac on the altar, shadow of God the Father offering his, and he received him back as, like, Isaac got raised from the dead, really died, you know, but it was a figure, it was the picture of what was going to happen with Jesus Christ, that he would die. And so resurrection is a part of this, but the provision, let's just look really briefly here over at Romans 5, show you just a few things, because of what Jesus Christ did, and because of the resurrection. So we'll start back in Romans 4, in verse 21, it's actually talking about Abraham there, and being fully persuaded that when he had promised, what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That what God had promised, he was able to. That Isaac was God. Abraham and God would. And therefore, it was imputed to him righteousness. It was counted to Abraham righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was, but for us also shall be imputed. Right? We do, right? So this is what's counted to us. Delivered for our offenses and for our what?
Justification.
Right. As of the resurrection goes on. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord. You have resurrection, and from resurrection, you get justification, and from justification, you have peace. By whom, verse 2, also we have access by faith in grace. Joyce and hope of the glory. Actually, there is a lot. And then, you know, we could have a whole another lesson on it, right? But anyway, what I wanted you to see that was the vision of God is tied up in the resurrection. All the other things. Mission, access. Talk about in many of how we have access straight. There's one other place to look. Romans 8. What a lot of verses from Romans 8 are on your chart in on the paper I gave you. But verses 1 through 4. Barney, you want to read that?
Romans 8, 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
That's a great. Verse 3, if you look at just for a moment here. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in likeness of sinful flesh. For sin. For a sin offering. Or as an offering for. Talking about a sin. Remember what animal was it that Abraham... God is very specific about how he uses the word of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lamb is not the same thing as a ram. Now, do you recall anything about the offerings? Which kind of offering? I'm not sure anything about. Kind of offering the ram would be used to?
Sin offering.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, David. Very good. Because that's the whole context of this. That it's the sin offering, trespass offering, there was a habit for the birds offering too. Those three offerings all have to do with, and the though here, see, what the law could not do, God sent his only son to be an offering, to be the ram. He is a lamb, too, but also a ram as a sin offering and sin in the flesh. So that we get to have complete just fats, Jehovah Jireh. All right, number two is Jehovah Rapha. So we have to go to Exodus 15. This is not nearly as long a record. Exodus 15. This is right after the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea and the whole Egyptian army drowned in the Red Sea. All Pharaoh's forces that were chasing after them, they drowned, right? And so it was an incredible victory and miracle. They crossed over the Red Sea on dry land. All of the people. And chapter 15:23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of the place was called Marah, because Marah means bitter. The place where the waters were bitter, and that's why they called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses. Here we go again. They are notorious for murmuring. They just got over the Red Sea. Well, the parting of the Red Sea and the huge miracle of the deliverance against all of Pharaoh's armies, where they had been slaves for years and years. And Moses, only 3 days. And they say, what shall we drink? Cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast into the waters were made spare. He made for them a statute and an ordinance. He proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord. I am the Lord that healeth. So the example is of an impossible. Waters were bitter, and you have all this huge group of water. So there was the revelation. Be put it in the water. And so part of God's healing is that he takes things that physically are looking really bad. One is sick, right? No, their physical body has things wrong with it and it's not going to get checked. Like the water's being bitter. But God does something, whatever that is, and it often takes revelation. So just look, you know the verse in Psalm 103 about he healeth all thy diseases. Not just some, not just a few, not just physical diseases either, right? But things in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Both physical and spiritual wholeness in every category. But look at Psalm 147, I think you'll like. Psalm 147. Of course, there's lots of verses about healing. You could take each one of these things and, you know, go a whole session on it, right? Psalm 147, verse 3. As he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. I love that picture. So when you have a cut, then you have to do something to heal it. Pour it on there or something, right? Either that or you just sew it up. But then you put a bandage on it. I'm just saying, what kind of hurt you have? Heal it, and then I'll bind it up so that... That reminds me of Luke 4. Actually comes from Isaiah. But Luke 4, this is one of the first times Jesus preached in Nazareth. Preaching in the synagogue, and he stands up, and he takes the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he reads this place, 18. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the what?
Brokenhearted.
Brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the land. This is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day, it was fulfilled. And then Jesus went around, and there are so many passages where it says, look, all of them. Every manner of sickness, every manner of disease, time after time, he definitely was healed. But I just love that part about to heal the brokenhearted and set captives free. All those things have to do with healing, not just physical. Hearts healed. We need deliverance in lots and lots of different areas. So look at Romans 8. I want to play you a song. Romans 8, verse 11. Because part of what Jesus Christ provided, that he provided Spirit for us, right? Part of the package we have is Holy Spirit.
Spirit.
It has one of the manifestations, it's gifts of healing, right? So, we have that as part of our nature that God has given to us. God in Christ in you, that spirit that's bind up the broken heart,
that the captives free spirit, it's a...
see? What we have. And, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, yes? Okay. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells.
Yeah.
Make alive. So, life is the opposite of death. Sickness is death, either in part or in whole. So, because we have the spirit of Christ within us, like it's making alive our physical body all the time. Anything we need, whether it's that spirit, that part of the whole.
Oh, he's, Lord, I change not.
Has not changed from the time he was doing this for Israel, all the way through empowering Jesus Christ to do all those works. Now today, he has given us greater works than... Not so much about the greater magnitude, like kinds of healing that some of us still haven't gotten around to raising the dead as much as Jesus Christ. But the volume, you multiply it times higher person's lifetime of healing people. Then you multiply that times however many believers there.
That's greater works.
Because he was only one man at one time on the earth. His very short. So he did heal a lot of people, and there were many works. Start thinking about how many believers there are. How you can walk like this for a lifetime. Life-giving spirit. I want to play you this song that I think will bless you. It's called On My Cross by a group called FFH. My Cross. I deserve to die. I should have been. God gave Jesus Christ. That's the reason why I have this tremendous feeling.
You will enjoy it here.
Those were my tears that fell down. kissed your hands and your brow. Those were my thorns, those were my scars, those were my tears that fell down. And just as you said it would be, you did all for me. And after you counted the gold, you took my shame, my pain on my cross. After you counted the cost, you took my shame, my blame on my cross.
Our sorrows, yet we did. Next one about Kadesh, and that's in Exodus. Desh means holy, defies, or who sanctifies.
Pardon?
No, I said I added it. Not a very common one because the actual spelling or like the gyra is in verse. This one does a transliterate, but there are quite a number. The Lord who sanctifies, or the Lord who is holy, you could also say. Verse 13 of chapter, thou also unto the children of Abbas you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. They know that I am the Lord that does sanctify, or Jehovah. And what he did was he gave them the Sabbath to show them that 6 days you should work and rest, but you should pause. He counted that day as holy. So, sanctify is one word to understand anything. But if you remember that it means, I like to change it even from holy to consecrate. Get the idea of being set apart, but set apart for something that causes awe. The reason for the Sabbath was so that they could spend time being in awe of God, worshiping about this. Okay. God is holy, holy one, right? One not only who sanctifies, but he is the holy one, and he is spirit. Okay. And he gave his gift to us of who is part of the spirit that we have within us has this holiness. It has sanctification. It has the element of awe. Think about how you have Holy Spirit, and the next time you speak it in, it confirms within you that this awesome gift God gave. And it sets a person up, but it also causes awe, consecrates us. God wanted, which God have wanted, that he fellowship, relationship with. Yes, I mean, worship of the way Israel did was like, here's the holy God, and he was almost unapproachable, right? But that's not really what God wanted. He really wanted children who were going to talk with him and hold his hand and relationship back and forth. That's what we over Kadesh, Lord who sanctifies. Now I just want to show you a verse, First Corinthians 6, where these three that I have shared already are used together. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. The first one was Jehovah Jireh, which is what?
Lord who sees or provides.
Provider. Yeah. But what was, we talked about what it that he provided. Yeah. In the resurrection that we have the provision. Because of the resurrection from Romans 4, we have justification. Yeah, that's the main. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, ye are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So this is kind of a summary of everything I've been teaching right now, till now. You are washed. Talk about washed. You're washed with, and you're sanctified, and you're justified. Awesome. One last one. Jehovah Shammah. Ezekiel. Got to go to the very last book of Ezekiel, chapter 48. Ezekiel got some wonderful visions. In fact, he had visions of the whole what it's going to be like in the Millennium Temple that's going to be right now, and the land and how it would be allocated to the tribes of Israel. Had some really wonderful visions. Starting in chapter 40 of Ezekiel, you all the details of things that saw. On some time, you go read it. But in 48, this is very last part of the book, and it's the description of new cities, called the New Jerusalem, and describing the gates and how the 12 tribes are going to be parts of it, and how what the measure and what the measurements are also. Get all done with all of this description, all these different details about the city, down to the very last verse, 5, round about 18,000 measures. That measure is, in the very first vision, the angel comes and he has a measuring rod in his hand, and that's what he's used visions to show Ezekiel what the proportions are of the faith. Then it says, and the name of the city from that day shall be, Lord is there, continuing there. So from this point on, there will never be a time where he's not there, dwelling with his family. This is still future, right? But he would be going to be, got to the church of body, God would be dwelling there too. Just like he will be dwelling in the future, and then they will be able to say that city's name is dwelling there, or there. He's always going to be there. But right now, he's also dwelling with us. So we have to just end. Verse 21, God's presence dwelling with man forever and ever and ever. And that's going to be the same with us. Is we don't have an ending time for God dwelling. There's no ending time because we live alive and remain when the gathering together comes, and we will forever be with the Lord. And if we or we die before that he does come, then our next waking moment is still going to be dwelling. He's going to be dwelling in us ever. Ephesians chapter Christ, in whom all the building fitly groweth unto a holy temple. In the holy temple, holy, we talk about sanctified temple, right? Part. In whom ye also, habitation of God. Is how we get over. We are the habitation of God. We are the dwelling place of God. He dwells in us. He will never, ever. Right? Ever. Not ever. So these names are, they are show God's character. They also show Jesus Christ's character, how he lived out and showed forth all of the qualities of God the Father when he was alive here on the earth. But then because he did die and he life for us, God raised him from the dead. So with that resurrection, there are all kinds of things that God was able to give to us. And then after the ascension and the Holy and Spirit, powerful gift package that was all of the fullness. So in that are all the qualities of the character of God that provides. Because of the Spirit working within us, we can have revelation about what, here's the need. Go look. Go over there. See things, even though we can't see them physically, we can see by revelation what someone would need, that need. I'll tell you a story. I was praying for a lady on the phone. She called me up and left me a text. She was on her way to the ER, friend of mine. And so first temptation is to go, yikes, you know, what are we going to do here? But, you know, I called her back as soon as I got the message, and I not think that there was... seemed like there was any very get a picture in my mind of specifically what to do, other than God wants you to know not afraid. And esophagus would start called back. Several people stand watched her. It just stopped the blockage in her esophagus. Found out later, right? It wasn't because I'm so great, or because even I thought I knew what I was doing. It was nothing about that. It's because the Spirit of Christ in me. And when we walk and we just endeavor to love people and care and to reach out, just, you know, I cared about her. I had to battle the fear, what to do. I knew that. But, you know, as far as what to do, walk by the Spirit, God's character of healing. All the glory goes to him, but we have to still be willing to do it, right? There. And that's basically what Sheldon later was. So you didn't know that that's what was causing this. So all the glory goes to God when we walk in the authority and the power that God has given to Holy Spirit. Times, glad that he's never, ever, 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 ever going to leave you. So he's Jehovah Shammah, he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He sanctifies, and he is our... Bless you.
Oh, question. This one's actually going to turn this off.